In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, after hearing today's text, it became clear to me why today Sarah picked to leave town. Today's lessons tell the stories of two prophets from the Bible, Amos and John the Baptist. And as you might have guessed from the gospel today, it isn't exactly an easy thing to be a prophet. The Hebrew word for prophet is kind of akin to spokesperson, God's spokesperson. God has chosen that person at that time to be the mouth of God. What they say are often things that people don't want to hear. They speak of repenting and changing direction. They stand up against abusive powers and injustices. They point at what is good and how God is calling God's people to a higher standard. And as we learn from John the Baptist, speaking against powerful people is a risky thing to do. Today I'm going to focus on our first reading from Amos. Amos was a sheep herdsman and a farmer about 750 years before the time of Christ. He became a spokesman of God during a largely prosperous time for the Israelites. In those times, Israelites were situated between two very large powers. And when those two powers were at peace, the Israelites were left alone to self-rule. And they enjoyed prosperity during that time. Amos was called to be a spokesman for God because the people had become complacent about their relationship with God. And they were becoming rich at the expense of others. It's kind of a classic tale of the rich were becoming richer and the poor were becoming poorer. But God had a covenant with those people. With the people, they were to look up towards God, to worship God vertically, inward and upward. And they were to experience God vertically, sharing God's love and respect with others and in everything they did. Other words, as we know it, love their Lord, their God, with all their hearts, and with all their minds, and with all their souls. So Amos became a spokesman for God, pleading with the Israelites to return to the covenant God had made with them, to set high standards for themselves because God expects the highest from God's people. So he gave an image of a plumb line. And here I have a homespun plumb line. It's a very simple tool to determine what is a straight line. It has a weight at the end, typically pointed weight. I didn't quite have a pointed weight, so I used this instead. And having this tool ensures builders to have straight walls. And having straight walls allows buildings to withstand time and, of course, weather. And so without it, early builders would have been lost. And we've had this tool since way before the Egyptians. And so what Amos was saying is that God is to be the center of what the Israelites should say or do. God's kind of the weight that centers them and sets the line straight. Anything to the left or to the right of that line, anything other than God-centeredness, cannot withstand the test that life gives. So, what wisdom can we gain from this sheepherder 750 years before Christ? Why do we, years and years and generations after generations, pass down this story? Scripture is living. We tell and retell and share these stories about God and God's people because they're timeless. This isn't about a message of Israelites a long, long time ago. It's a story for us today. You see, we also live in a world where God seems to be less popular, less on the radar, shall we say. We live in a world where greed and corruption is in the news every day. This past week, I've had the honor and privilege to be a part of General Convention. General Convention is the big meeting time for the churches, the Episcopal Church. So bishops and laity and priests from all over the diocese, all over the United States, come and meet for 2 weeks every 3 years. And this is kind of where we make policy and state what is the Episcopal Church during these times. And I've learned so much. And one little nugget of learning I had that spoke to me this week was from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. He spoke Wednesday night about the economic crisis we are in. He described it as not just an economic crisis, but a crisis of truthfulness. And to quote him, he said, "We have suddenly discovered we've been lying to ourselves." And he gives three ways we've been lying to ourselves. We've lied to ourselves about the possibility of profit without risk. We've been lying to ourselves about our place in creation, trying to live a limitless material world in a very limited world. We've been lying to ourselves about the nature of our relationships. You see, profit cannot be gained in just one area without affecting others. And he said, of course, this goes way beyond money. They're about relationships, global, communal, local. They're about how we relate to ourselves, our world, and how we respect our God. So, in reflecting in today's passages, I think Amos actually has a lot to say to us from long, long ago. God is to be the truth that's the very center of our being. God is the love that we are called to be remain rooted in and to reach out to others through. God's dream for us is to know and be a part of that plumb line. The Archbishop said, you know, the way to restore things back to normal, whatever normal might be, is to restore the truthfulness by living just simply the truth. And he gives three truths to think about. One, we must be truthful with our dealings with one another. Transparency. You know, just saying trust in me is not enough. Trust isn't something that you should have to say that you're going to have. It should be something that just comes without even noticing it. And that takes time, and it takes to know the quality of the person you're working with. And we should have patience with that in our families, in our communities, and in our world. The second truth is to be truthful about the world we really live in. How our lifestyle, our policies, everything we do should show a profound respectfulness of our limits. You see, so much of our world is about fantasy and living above it or just kind of bobbing along. But we need to be an embodied person in a material creation, not to float a mile and a half above the surface. And the third truth is that we should be truth-telling, that all our activities and decisions include risk, and profit never comes without a cost. To sum up all those three truths, I think it is to be authentic with ourselves, with others, and with God. He said, you know, we've been living in a gated community. like we see only those around us. And it's time to open up those gates and see the world that's beyond them. We are called to live as the children of the light. We are to live as God's truthfulness is the very center of our being, our plumb line. And living in this truthfulness is about being authentic. Let us pray. God, let us be aware of how you surround us and love us and give us the grace to center us with a plumb line. Let us honor you and everybody we see and the world we live in and in within ourselves. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.